Morning. Today's Daphne Chulin is Samach Gimel. We're in the third parak of Elatrefus. We're discussing Simani Kashrus, and we're doing it specifically by birds. Today, continued discussion regarding which birds are kosher, which birds are not kosher. Now, the Gemara is going to meticulously go through various birds that exist in the time of Iraq, circa 3rd, 4th, 5th century, and identify which ones are kosher and which ones are not kosher. Now, admittedly for us, the Gemara over here is not going to be that helpful. We don't live in Iraq, and it's now some 15, 16, 1700 years later. So admittedly, a lot of this Gemara over here is no longer useful, but certainly the Gemara goes on record in terms of establishing which birds are kosher, which birds are not, which obviously Bizman HaGemara was extraordinarily important. And on top of that, as I pointed out yesterday, it seems pretty clear from the Gemara that the development of which birds are kosher, which birds are not, they really based it on simanim, meaning simanim to them was a critical aspect. And I'll make the observation, and I'll talk about it tomorrow afternoon in the afternoon kolo, made the observation that it's a little bit of an oddity that when it comes to animals, so the Torah actually gives us a simanim. We know the character traits of an animal, which is kosher, which is not, because the Torah says so. By birds, we don't know the simanim, meaning from the Torah. The Torah doesn't give us a simanim. The Chachamim gave us a simanim. And it's so interesting that the simanim for the birds may be more utilized than the simanim by the animals. It's certainly an interesting idea that the simanim by the birds, which is not in a kasab Torah, is still nevertheless going to be used as a means in which of determining which birds are kosher, which birds are not. We're going to continue in the Gemara from where we left off yesterday. Various birds that are kosher and which are not. And again, I'll say what I said yesterday. Well, we are all hamstrung by the fact that we don't know what these birds are. We're going to make educated guesses sometimes. You'll hear me referring to certain birds. Look, Rashi goes through the trouble of trying to identify which birds are what that are described in the Gemara. So it's a worthwhile endeavor. But with the admission, though, that we really don't know precisely what we're talking about in terms of these various birds. We'll pick it up right where we left off yesterday. Amr Shmuel, three lines from the bottom, on Samach Beis Amid Beis. Amr Shmuel Shasi Chamra, the bird that's known as the wine drinker. Okay, again, could be the coloration of the bird, could be the behavior of the bird. Why ever the bird is referred to this way, the bird is referred to as the wine drinker, the Shasi Chamra. So that bird, Asir, can't eat that bird. V'simancha shesu yayin psul la'avoda. And again, a great mnemonic to help us remember, shesu yayin, if you are inebriated, so you cannot do the avoda under the influence. The Amr Shmuel Mazga Chamra Asira, the bird known as the Mazga Chamra, the pourer of wine. Again, how that bird got that name, could be a behavior issue, but whatever the case is, so the Mazga Chamra Asira, the Bas Mazga Chamra Sharya. So there were two different types of birds. One was referred to as the Mazga Chamra. The other one was referred to as the Bas Mazga Chamra. It's just simply that was its name. So the Bas Mazga Chamra happens to be permitted, while the Mazga Chamra is prohibited. Now, V'simancha, again, another helpful mnemonic. Yafe koach haben mi koach ha'av. The Gemara over here quotes from the end of Masechta Shavuos. Without getting into the details, there are occasions in halacha where the son's ability to collect a debt of the father is actually better than that of the father. How can that be? It's the father's receivable, and yet the son has a better chance of collecting it. So the Gemara at the end of Shavuos goes over the details of that particular halacha. But in other words, we're going to use that halacha as a mnemonic, as a way of helping us remember this halacha, where sometimes the son's ability, the child's ability is stronger than that of the father. The bas mazga chamra is permitted, which is the, quote-unquote, literally the daughter of. But over here, don't go with the literal translation. It doesn't mean daughter of, it just simply means that there's another species with the name bas mazga chamra. But now you'll hit the memory cues. Oh yeah, the Bas Mazga Chamra, even though it's not really the daughter, but it reminds me of the child, and sometimes the child is better than the father. Amar of Yehuda, Sakitna Aricha Sakit V'Simka Sharya V'Simancha Meruzma. So the Sakitna, maybe the flamingo, who knows? But its legs are long and it's red, so it's going to be permitted. And the way to remember that is Meruzma. What's Meruzma? A name of another bird that was very popular back then, and everybody knew it was kosher. So you think of the Meruzma, reminds you of the Sakitna, and therefore it's okay. However, Gutze V'Sumke, but If it's short-legged and it's red, asir, it's going to be prohibited. V'simancha nanus pasol. A good way to remember it. So sorry, I'm speaking now to the vertically challenged. If you're a nanus, if you are a dwarf, you're going to be pasul. You cannot do the avoda. This is a Mishnah Becharos going over the various physical defects and deformities that are going to prohibit a kohen from doing the avoda. And if a kohen is born a bal mum, so Kadosh Baruch Hu has deemed that kohen cannot do the avoda. There are other things you can do in the Beis Hamikdash, but you cannot do the avoda. And one of them is dwarfism. Cannot do the avoda. And so it's just a helpful way to remember that the particular type of bird, the sakitna, who has the short legs, is going to be usher. Ariche sakav yiroka asira. If it's long-legged and it's either green or yellow, it's going to be prohibited. V'simancha yirokim psulim. And we'll go back to a Mishnah that we learned here in Eilat Treifus that's going to be a good mnemonic. Because remember that when the bird went through a fire and some of its intestines turned green or yellow, so then it's going to be disqualified. Am Rav Yehuda Shalach, Zu HaSholeach, Dagim in Hayam. And now what we're going to turn to in the Gemara over here is the following. There are a number of birds listed in the Torah, in Vayikra and in Devarim. We've gone over this numerous times. The Torah does not give us the characteristics. The Torah actually calls out the birds that are not kosher. There's a list in Vayikra, and there's a list in Devarim. Now, you've heard me say already numerous times that there are 24 birds in total. Now, even though I've said that numerous times, it is not clear in the Torah that there are 24 birds in total. There are how many actually listed in Vayikra? So I'd say go home tonight and do your homework, but I'll give it away. There are 20 in Vayikra. How many are there in Devarim? So there are 21 in Devarim. One of the things that we're going to be accomplishing in today's daf, and I foreshadowed this a couple days ago, is that we're going to try to figure out how to get from 20 or 21 and get us to the number 24. Right? That's a neat trick. And on top of that, as a bonus today, what we're also going to be doing is we're going to be noting the name of some of these birds, and the Gemara is going to be darshaning the names. Right? If you've been around long enough in Limud HaGemara, you know that this is something that the Gemara really enjoys doing. Darshaning the names of items. Right? That person's name is such, and the reason why the name is such is because X, Y, and Z. Over here with the birds, the Gemara is not going to be any different. The bird has a particular name. It speaks to a character of the bird, a certain nature of the bird. So I'm Rav Yehuda. So the question of getting to the number 24 that comes up later in today's daf. Right now we're going to be darshaning names. I'm Rav Yehuda Shalach Zu HaShalech Dagim Minayam. So the Shalach is called as such because what it does a dive into the water in order to get the fish out of the water to eat it. The Duchifas Shahodu Kafus. So its hod, its glory, its crown is kafus. It basically is doubled over. It appears twice as much as it would be. Okay, describing its crow on its head. Tanya Mihachel, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Duchifasha Odu Kafus. Vizeu Shehevi Shamir LeBeis HaMikdash. And oh, by the way, this is how we got the Shamir to the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, so he wanted to cut the stone for the Beis HaMikdash, not using metal. Now, if you remember the end of last week's Parsha, and the Maftir of last week's Parsha, so that's true regarding the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach cannot be cut with a metal instrument. The stones for the Mizbeach cannot be cut with a metal instrument. Shlomo HaMelech wanted to do that not only for the Mizbeach, he wanted to do it for the entire Beis HaMikdash. So what was he going to use in order to, as a cutting implement? So he was going to use a Shamir worm. More about that. So open up the Gemara in Gittin, where the Gemara in Gittin goes through a Daf Samaches. I picked up Rashi over here. So the Gemara in Gittin goes through all the details of how Shlomo HaMelech obtained the Shamir worm, but he used the bird and the Duchifas bird in order to help him out, in order to aid him. Okay, see the Gemara in Gittin over there for all those wonderful details. Anyway, Rav Yochanan Kichazi Shalach, when Rav Yochanan saw the Shalach bird, Amra Mishpatecha Tom Rabba, Kevichazi Namala Amr Tzidkascha Kahare El. So when Rav Yochanan's viewing of these particular animals, so it reminded him of the Psukim. What connection do these Psukim have with these particular animals? So Rashi offers a couple of Pshatim. Rashi, in the first Pshat, Tzidkascha Kahare El, Deafilu Namala Islechi Yusa Kigdola. the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about stucco when it comes to the ant, because look at that little thing, and meanwhile it has life just like a larger animal would have. And as far as the shalach bird thinking about the mishpatecha tahom rabah, the next Rashi, shezmanasa shalach lishpot v'lasos nikmascha b'dagas hayam la'amisa b'zimas lamos, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu has hashkacha not only on people but on animals as well. It's time for that fish to go, right? In other words, the fish's time is just simply up. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, what is he going to do? Whatever it takes in order to have the hashkacha. So in other words, a bird is going to come from the air, dive into the water, get that particular fish because the zman is up. So that's why Rav Yochanan thinks of the pasuk of Mishpatecha Tahom Rabah. The mishpat of Kadosh Baruch Hu, it goes deep. Literally, the bird's going into the water because now it's the time for the fish to go. You want to see more pshatim? You can see Rashi, who also offers another pshat as well. Anyway, we're going to go back to the Gemara. So, Amar HaMeimar. Yeah, Amar HaMeimar. So, the Likne Ubatne Shayan, Shakne Ubatnai. So, as far as the Likne and Batne are concerned, again, various birds that existed in the time of the Gemara, so they're permitted. However, the Shaknai Ubatnai. So makom shenagu le'achol ochlim, makom shenagu shelo le'achol ein ochlim. So if the minhag in your community is you eat those birds, so good, enjoy it. And if the minhag in your community is you don't eat those birds, so then don't eat those birds. To which the Gemara says, I'm not following. Atu b'minhag atayam elso? What is this, minhag? Meaning either the bird is kosher or not, right? Imagine. No, over here we eat at this particular establishment. I know it's not kosher, but the minhag here is to eat it. In other words, this is kashrus. What does that have to do with minhagim? So the Gemara says, no, in this particular regard, it is going to be built on minhag. In v'lo kashra haba asur d'shchicha peres v'aznia, haba asur d'lo shchich peres v'aznia. This goes back to a point that we said over yesterday. Remember in yesterday's daf, we learned together that any bird that exhibits even one of the simane kashrus by a bird is in fact kosher, provided that you know for sure it's not one of the 24. Now, the Nesher, as we already know, goes 0 for 4. It doesn't have any of the Siman Kashrus. But what about the Peres Vazniya? So they have one Siman Kashrus. So if you find a bird, I'm just reviewing what we learned yesterday. If you find a bird with one Siman Kashrus, and you know it's not the Peres Vazniya, so gezunt enjoy it. It's a kosher bird. So in a community where this Peres Vazniya is just simply not indigenous, and the Peres Vazniya simply doesn't come across over here. So when we find a bird with one siman tahara, so we know it's kosher. However, if we live in a community where there is peres v'aznia that populate the area, so now we have to be concerned, and therefore we don't need it. And that's why, in this particular regard, it can in fact be based on minhag, based on whether or not there's a prevalency of peres v'aznia in our community. Amar Abaye, continuing in the Gemara. Koi v'kakui asuri, kaku asa sharya. So various birds, the names sound awfully similar, and the first two are prohibited, and the latter is permitted. But Marava Maku Ilave. Now in Eretz Yisrael, they were not a fan of eating this kukuusa. Sorry. You can forgive me for not really pronouncing correctly, but they would give makus for eating such a bird. Vekarele Tachvasa. And in Eretz Yisrael, it also goes by another name, so that people understand and know that that particular bird is not kosher. Sorry. Rashi doesn't say. Sorry. I'm not sure. I think it's the latter, but I'm not sure. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay. We're up to another bird mentioned in the Torah. So we highlighted the shalach and we highlighted the duchifas. We're now to the bird called the tinshemis. Now tinshemis is interesting in that it made it into the list of non kosher birds. It's also one of the shmona shratzim. The Torah, in addition to giving a list of birds which are not kosher, the Torah also highlights 8 shratzim where, aside from not being kosher, if you touch the corpse of any of these 8. You're going to be tameh. This is known as the Shemona Shratzim. Now, by the way, anatomically, physiologically, they also have differences as well. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about how when you hit it, so it bruises differently than the other shratzim. But just in terms of tumah tahara, so once they're dead and you touch it through maga, so you're going to become tameh. Of the shmona shratzim, so one of them happens to also be called the tinshamis. So it's just a point of interest, which the Gemara now is going to highlight, is that tinshamis is mentioned by birds, tinshamis is mentioned by shratzim. Don't think this is going to be the basic point of the Gemara. Don't think it's the same creature. It's not the same creature. There's a bird called the tinshamis, and there's a sheretz called the tinshamis. And how do I know that? And it's the answer to so many questions that come up in the Gemara, context. And what we're going to be learning together is the very basic point that context really is going to be one of the tools that we use in defining the Torah. See all this inside Tanur Rabbanan. We're less than halfway down in Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Gemara quotes the Braisa, Tinshamas Ba'usha Ba'ofos. It's the Ba'usha Ba'ofos. Now the word Ba'us itself, not exactly clear what the word means, Ba'usha Ba'ofos. Rashi just simply describes that it's a bird that shrieks at night. It's not clear exactly what bird is making reference to. A little bit later on, Rashi is going to be identifying as one of the possibilities that this may be a reference to a bat. Now, I also learned that a bat is a mammal, it's not a bird, and so I understand that pshat is a little bit challenging. Linguistically, however, I will point out that the Gemara actually uses a word that is most similar to what we say in English, the bat. But again, I don't know enough. I don't know enough about the language of Aramaic. I know that sounds funny, but it's true. I know how to read Gemara, but it doesn't make me, I don't know Aramaic, and I know enough Latin, so I don't know enough to really support that thesis. Anyway, Rashi offers a couple of pshatim what it might be, in any regard. So, Timshamas Ba'osha Ba'ofos, Atomer Ba'osha Ba'ofos. Now, is it a bird? O Eino Ola Ba'osha B'shratzim. Or it could be a sheretz, because again, go back to the point that the Tinshamas is the Torah uses that word in describing birds, and in describing Tinshemes, and the Gemara is suggesting maybe it's one of the same creature. So Amar Tzelamam Yigamamidu Shatar Nejeshes Behem Davar Halamed Me'inyano. And so the Gemara says no, because it's one of the 13 Midu Shatar Nejeshes Behem, and that is context. If the list is talking about birds, and the word Tinshemes is found in that list, contextually, it's a bird. Tanya Nami Achim, we're going to do now the same thing regarding a sheretz. Tanya Nami Gabi Shratzim Ki Hai Gavna. Tinshamas Ba'osha B'Shratzim Ata Omer Ba'osha B'Shratzim Oeinola Ba'osha Ba'ofos. The Tinshamas that's mentioned by the Shemona Shratzim. So maybe it's a bird. How do I know it's a sheretz? So Amar, the Gemara says, I'll tell you how I know. Amar Tzela Mami Goma Midosha Tarni Jeshus Mahem. Davar Alamei Minyanu Ba'meakas of Mendabe B'Shratzim Afkam B'Shratzim. And it's the same exact point. By virtue of the fact that the Tinshemes mentioned by the Shratzim is mentioned by the Shratzim, so contextually we're talking about Shratzim, the Tinshemes over there is a Sheretz. Amar Abaya Ba'osha Ba'ofos Kipuf Ba'osha B'Shratzim Kordafe. So the Ba'os of the birds is referred to in Aramaic as Kipuf. And the Ba'os of the Shratzim in Aramaic is called the Kurpadai. Now it could be that the Kurpadai is a mole. It could be that the Kipuf is a bat. Yep. So right. So it could very well be. Amar Rav Yehuda, Kaat. Again, back to the list of the birds of the Torah. Zu Hakok. So it is the kok. And Recham. Zu Shrak Rak. So it is the Shrak Rak. Now again, I could guess. I could give educated guesses in terms of what these birds are. But in the meantime, however, the Amoraim are translating the birds of the Torah into the Aramaic. I'm Rav Yochanan, Lama Nikra Shmo Racham, Kevin Sheba Racham, Ba Rachamim. When you see the Racham coming, so Rachamim comes to this world, Rashi understands that it's being rain. So, Amar Abibi Barabayev, Hu Diyasev Amidi, Va'avitrak Rak. The Gemara says it is going to be a forecaster of rain, and the forecast is going to be good, but only when it stands on something and it shrieks. By the way, the word shriek is clearly the same in English as it is in the Aramaic, the shrak rak. Ugemir di yasiv ha'ar v'sharik asa mashicha. We also have another mesara, and that is if it stands on the ground and it shrieks while standing on the ground, so that's going to be the forecasting of the coming of Mashiach. Shenamar ashrakallahem ba'kabtzeim. Pasuk Sorry. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Zechariah speaking to this very idea. Amalei Rav Ada Bar Shimon Lamar Bar Rav Idai Vehu Veha Hahu De Yasev Bei Karva. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. I saw the shrakrak bird. It was standing on the plowed field. Visharak, and it shrieked. Va'asa galal afzakeh lamoche. And along comes stone right out of the sky, hits it right on the head and kills it. So Amrle hahu baida hava. That bird was a shakran. It was a liar. And so therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu was upset with that bird and killed the bird. Now, am I in a position right now where I can explain this? I got it to you. The answer is no. I'm not in a position. Tanu Rabbanan. Therefore, we're going to continue. Orev ze orev es kola orev lahavi orev ha'amaki ha'amaki. So, the orev is a reference to the orev. The Gemara is going to be bothered by that first part of the brisa. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. So, the es kol ha'orev. So that's coming to include the Orev Hamaki, the valley raven. Limino, the pasuk also adds the words limino when describing the raven. La vi Orev haba b'rosh yonim. It's a raven that is what is the Gemara right now, the Bryce is describing as a Rosh Yonim, and we're going to explain that as well. So there are a number of components of the Bryce. We're darshaning every word regarding the Orev, and we need clarification. Amamar. Orev zu Orev, so atu kamankai. Now, the Bryce opens up with the words Orev. You know what that is? That's the Orev. Now, wait 1 second. The Gemara says, I'm not bothered. I'm sorry. I'm bothered by the following. Are we right now in show and tell? Meaning, the author, I'm saying the Gemara right now over like Rashi. Like, the author of the Bryce says, oh, the Orev in the Torah, that's the Orev. Now, if he had an Orev in his hand, and he was showing it to everyone in the shir, so that's great. But assuming that he's not, so like, what is the author of the Bryce doing? Orev, you know what that's a reference to? It's Orev. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, we knew this already, unless he was actually showing the Orev. But the Gemara is assuming that he wasn't. So what was the first part of the Braisa trying to do? So, Ela Ema Orev Zu Orev Uchma. Ah. So it must be that we're missing a little bit of the Braisa, and the Braisa has to be reading like this. When the Torah says Orev, you know what Orev, you know what it's talking about? It's talking about the black raven. V'chenu Omer Kvutzosav Tatalam Shacharos. Ka'orev. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim describes the beauty of a black raven. Ha'amaki chivra. Now, when we describe the next raven in the Braisa, the one that is quote unquote more depressed, I'm not talking about the emotion. I'm talking about where it seems to sink in more. So, v'chenu omer, I'm sorry. So, that is the ha'amaki, that's the chivra, that's the white. And the Gemara says this many times. From a perception standpoint, it is a little bit challenging to see this, but the Gemara assumes that when you have a bright white spot next to a black spot, the white spot seems to be more depressed from a perception standpoint. It seems to be deeper. And the Gemara says that when regarding Saras, so when you see a white spot, it seems to be deeper because of its whiter appearance. The Orev Habab Rosh Yonim. And we're up to now the end of this brisa. So Amar Papa Lo Tema Dasi Bereish Yonei. Don't make the mistake and think that it is flying together with a flock of Yonas. That's not the pshat. Ela Didami Reish Ladiona. What it means is that we're talking about a particular species of raven where its head looks like that of a dove. So in other words, the body of a raven, but its head appears like that of a dove. That also is included in the parsha as well. Okay, so that is a drasha on the orev. Tanu Rabbanan hanetz zehanetz leminehu lahavi is barchivra. Now the nates is talking about the subspecies of the nates, which is the barchiria. My barchiria amar baye shirunika shiruyinka. Okay, again, forgiveness today for pronunciation. I'm trying. So anyway, so it's another type of bird. The Gemara describes it. Again, I can give you guesses in terms of what it is. Whatever the case is, the Gemara describes this. Could be a falcon. Could be. Amar Rav Yehuda ha-chasida. Zut daya levana. The chasida mentioned in the Torah is a reference to the daya levana. Okay, I'm guessing it's a stork, but it's a guess. Lamani kroshma chasida sho'ose chasidus im chavruseha. It's very kind to its companion. And the question is often asked, if it's kind to its companion, so then why isn't it listed in one of the non-kosher birds? I find the question in of itself not to be a compelling question, meaning could be that the two points are just simply unrelated, meaning that just because it happens to have a characteristic of being kind, but we're talking about the bird animal, we're talking about birds, we're not talking about people. So it could just simply be a character trait of the bird, and it's not kosher. Okay. Anyway, ha'anafa zudaya ragzanis. The anafa mentioned the Torah, so that's a reference to a angry bird. Lamnikra shema anafa, shimena efes im chavrseha. It argues with its friends. Amrav chanam barav chista, amrav chista, amrav chanam barei derava, amrav esrim varba ofos tamein hein. And here we go. Now, what we're going to be doing now, basically for the rest of today's daf, is as follows. We're going to start with the number 24. Now, the Torah itself lists the birds, but the Torah never gives a number. The Torah does not say, here comes 24 birds. We have a Masorah, which we just read right now in the Gemara, that there are 24 species of birds. And now what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go to the Masorah, go back to the Pesukim in the Torah, and try to figure it out. How do we get to the number 24? Now, Amalei Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista, Rav Chista Dehecha. Now, the Gemara says, now, wait one second. The birds are listed twice in the Torah, once in Parsha Shmini, a second time in Parsha Re'eh, 11th perek of Vayikra, 14th perek of Devarim. Now, I encourage you, go through both lists. Either Vayikra Esrim Havu, once you go and read the list in Vayikra, you're going to find how many birds are actually listed, names of birds, 20. And either Mishnah Torah Esrim V'chad Havu. And if you go to Sefer Devarim, you're going to find 21 birds that are listed over there. So, aside from the fact that that in of itself is not consistent, aside from that, also, how are we getting to the number 24? So, v'chitema da d'ksiva b'v'yikra v'lo ksiva b'mishnah Torah, shaja alayhu. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we could do the following. There is a bird mentioned in Vayikra, which is not mentioned in Devarim, and that is the da'a. So maybe what we'll do is we'll take the da'a mentioned Vayikra, and we'll stick it to the list over there in Devarim. The Gemara says, that's wonderful. That gets us to 22. Akati Esrim V'Trein Hava. So that's only 22. So Amar Le'ach Amar Avu Adimech Mishmei Derav. So we have a Mistara going back to Rav. Limina. Limina. Limino. Liminehu. You'll notice that by four of the birds, the Torah says, for four of the 20, Limina. It says it on two of the birds. Limino on one of the birds. And Liminehu to one of the birds. And what does that do? It gives us an additional four. Hare kan arba. And so those are four other birds. Nondescript. We don't have an actual name for them. But the four other birds. So in other words, so here we're now, we have the list of 22, plus four other nondescript birds. And by the way, in other words, we'll go back over the brises that we've been learning yesterday and today. In other words, in terms of helping us identify what are these additional nondescript birds, right? By Ore, for example, Limina. So we just saw in today's daf additional birds that are darshan now from the word limina. By the way, I didn't point this out yet. I'm going to point it out now. In yesterday's daf on Samach Beis, we also had the word limina by the Orev, and we darshaned out another bird that went out from there, and that was a zarzir. Right? So you could ask it as a simple question. In yesterday's daf, when we had the word limina for the Orev, it included the zarzir. In today's daf, when we said limina, the Gemara over here described the Rosh Yonim, right? The raven with a head looking like that of a dove. Okay, so whatever the case is, in other words, there are other birds that are included, and we learn it from Lamina, 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 Laminehu. So the Gemara says that's great. What does that do for us? Actually, now it hurts us because we want the number to be 24. We have 22 birds that are actually mentioned. We have another four that we learn out through these words. 4 plus 22, that's 26. Iach yasrim v'shisavu. So Amar Abaye, davara achasi. So what Abaye now is going to offer is as the following is the pshat. We have the word da'a. We have the word ra'a. Actually, I did a little bit of my homework. The da'a is mentioned in Vayikra. The ra'a is mentioned in Devarim. So what Abaye now is going to posit is that they're actually one in the same bird. So, davara achasi disagadacha tarti inun, because if you think there are two birds, michte, mishnah Torah lasufi hudasa. Because consider that Sefer Devarim is to add, to augment, to supplement. So, maishna hachadichsiv da'a, umaishna hachadichsiv ra'a, veloksiv da'a. So, why is it now that if we're assuming that the list in Sefer Devarim is going to be more comprehensive in nature, so how can it be that the Da'a is mentioned in Vayikra and not mentioned in Devarim? So therefore, El Shmamina Min Ra'a, Min Ra'a V'da Achasi. So Abaye says so that the Ra'a and the Da'a are actually one in the same bird. This is Abaye's thesis. And so now that means that we have now dropped the number from 26 down to 25. Good. But that's not good. That's not good enough. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Ve'akati chafeyavo, so that's 25. Good. So Amar Abai, Kishem Sharavada, Kishem Sharavada achasi, kach aya vidaya achasi. So the aya and the daya, according to Abaye, are one in the same as well. Because if you think they're in fact two, michti, mishnah Torah la sufu dasa. And again, the same argument, that the list in Devarim is understood to be a more comprehensive list. So, maisha hacha dechsiv lemina, a'aya, maisha hasim dechsiv lemina, adaya. And why would it be that in the list in Vayikra, the Torah says the words limina and daya, and in Devarim it says limina and aya, elishma mina aya v'daya achasi. So aya and daya are one and the same. V'chime achash aya v'daya achasi, lama le lemichtav aya v'daya. So the Gemara says, okay, so just a simple question. So if they're the same bird, so why doesn't the Torah consistently write it the same, both in Vayikra and in Devarim? So the Gemara says, Kedetanya Rabbi Omer, Ekra ani aya, daya lama. Why? Good. So the Torah says aya. So why does the Torah say the word daya? Namar kedei shaloti tein pitzchon pel labaldin lachlok shaloti ata kore aya vehu kore daya. Ata kore daya vehu kore aya. Because basically what the Torah wants to try to do is limit the amount of confusion. In other words, the Torah knows that this bird is sometimes called aya and sometimes called daya. So therefore the Torah is going to write both so that people understand it's one and the same. Okay, and that's why the Torah writes the two of them.
The word et, there was a rabbi who said that et would explain a lot into the name. I mean, other things. So when it says et kol or rev, so et kol, et by itself means that there will be subcategories. So why does the mina?
Good question. Good question. I don't know. And the Gemara doesn't darshan the word S. Okay. Good. Meisve, the Gemara challenges with a brisa laminishim bebehema mimnei ashesua over ofos mimnei hara'ah. So why the repetition? Why does the Torah in Parshas Re'eh repeat all the animals and birds that were already said back in Vayikra? I mean, it could be a very we could ask this question generically regarding Sefer Devarim in whole. Meaning, what is the purpose of Sefer Devarim in terms of repetition, in terms of shinun, and repeating? The Gemara over here is asking it specific to that of Hilchos Kashrus. And so, Laminishim Bebehema Mimnei Shesua. So, over here, the Braisa has a very clear answer as it relates to the Kashrus of the animals. Meaning, generally speaking, so the repeated list is just that, a repeated list. But, however, there are inclusions. Again, this goes back to what we learned on the top of our Amud, which is that the general assumption is that the purpose of Mishnah Torah is le'usufe. It's a more exhaustive and comprehensive list. It covers more. So it already covers everything that was which was already mentioned back in Vayikra. And as far as animals concerned, the Shesua. Now, if you go back to yesterday's daf, you'll remember, the Shesua is making reference to a particular animal that had two spines. An animal that we're not used to seeing, but that is a non-kosher animal. And when it comes to birds, of ofos mimnei ha-ra'a. So my love mede mehema da'asam la'asufe, ofos nami la'asufe. Now, if we're understanding this brisa correctly, so that means that the shesua is the Torah introducing us to a new type of animal that's not kosher. So if that's true, which the Gemara is assuming that's correct, so isn't the ra'a the same thing? Meaning the ra'a is a new type of bird that was not mentioned previously back in Vayikra. And this is really a question on Abaye. Because Abaye posited that Da'a and Ra'a are one and the same bird. But in the reading of this Braisa, it sounds like Ra'a is a new type of bird. And the Gemara just simply rejects the question, the premise of the question. Lo, hasam lo sufe, hachla frushe. When it comes to animals, you're right. The Hashesu was there to actually introduce us to a new type of animal that's not kosher. But when it comes to the birds and the ra'ah mentioned in Devarim, it's not le'usufe, but rather lefrushe. It's just that the ra'ah is an explanation of the da'ah. It's one and the same. So what we have over here is that according to Abaye, you got the number 24. Granted, it's a little bit tricky how to get there, but you got there. In other words, what we're going to do is as follows according to Abaye. This is a summary of Abaye. The da'ah and ra'ah are one and the same. The da'ah and the ayah are one in the same. And so that means to say that according to Abaye, we have now taken the actual total number of birds that are listed, and we have reduced it now to 20. There are 20 actual birds that are listed in the Torah, making those two assumptions, plus the lemina, lemina, leminao, and leminehu, that are repeated both in Vayikra and in Dvarim. So that includes another four nondescript birds, which we know through Masorah, but the Torah does not give actual names of those birds. That's another four. That's how you get to 24, according to Abaye. The Gemara now points out, Upligi ad Rabbi Abahu. Now, Rabbi Abahu does not agree. Now, what doesn't he agree with? Rabbi Abahu does not even agree that there necessarily is 24 birds. As we're going to see, Rabbi Abahu doesn't give us his number, but it's going to be clear from the Gemara that Rabbi Abahu is not held to this number and therefore has more flexibility in terms of explaining the psukim in the Torah. Amar Rabbi Abahu, Ra'azu Ayah. The Ra'ah and the Ayah are one in the same. Now, mind you, by the way, that the Ra'ah and Ayah are both mentioned in Devarim. And according to Rabbi Abahu, what that means to say now is that he's obviously disagreeing with Abaye, and he's of the opinion that the Ra'ah and the Ayah are the same bird, even though they're both listed in the list in Devarim. V'lam nekroshmo Ra'ah, Shira Abiyoser. Ra'ah is just simply a description of the bird. Its vision is unbelievable. V'cheinu omer nesiv lo yadu ayiv lo shizvaso ein ayah. The eye of the ayah, meaning its vision is fantastic. Tana the Gemara here quotes a brisa giving us a description of what it's able to see. Omenes be'bavel v'ro nevela be'eretz Yisrael. It could stand at Bavel, and nevertheless, even though it's hundreds of miles away, it could see a nevela all the way in Eretz Yisrael. So midara hainu ayah. So the Gemara says now for Rabbi Abahu, let's see if I get this. So the ra and the ayah are one and the same. Mechlal dadalav hainu ra. So does that mean that according to Rabbi Abahu, the da'a and the ra are not one and the same? Meaning, remember, according to Abaye, the da and the ra are one and the same bird. But does that mean now that according to Rabbi Abahu, they're not one and the same? So michti misha tarla sufu dasa. And again, the Gemara says it's very difficult, because we work with the general assumption that the list in Devarim is more exhaustive. So, Maishna Hachdechsiv Da'o, Maishna Hasam Deloksiv Da'a. And there's a bird mentioned in Vayikra that's not mentioned in Mishnah Torah. Ela Lav Shmamina Da'a V'ra V'aya Achasi. So the Gemara says, so it must be that according to Rabbi Abahu, the Da'a is the Ra'a, which is also the Ayah. They're all one and the same. Umidara Hainu Ayah Mechlad Da'a Lav Hainu Ayah. So the Gemara says, now what about the Daya? I know all this is confusing, but I wrote myself a little bit of a list. The Ra and Ayah are mentioned in Devarim. Da'a and Daya are mentioned in Vayikra, meaning the Dala birds, if you will. The birds that start with the letter Dala, they're in Vayikra. The Ra and the Ayah are in Devarim. And now the Gemara says, what are we going to do with the Daya? Umidara Hainu Ayah Mechlad Da'a Lav Hainu Ayah. So Maishna Asim Dechsiv Lemineu. So the Gemara says that also is confusing, because we have the word leminehu or lemina, better stated, on the word aya in one place and not another place. Ella adaya, but rather it's on the word daya, meaning that in Vayikra you're going to see the word daya lemina. In Devarim you're going to see the word lemina and aya. And how can that be? So ella shemamina da'ara. So I'm sorry. Davara Dayava Aya Achasi. According to Rabbi Abahu, the birds described as the Da'a and the Daya of Ayikra and Ra'a and Aya of Devarim, it's all one in the same. So what Rabbi Abahu just did is he took four birds and he consolidated that into one bird. Sometimes they just simply go by different names. Sometimes it's a description, not a proper name. According to Rabbi Abahu, they are now all but one bird. And that means that according to Rabbi Abahu, we don't have 24. And the answer could be, sure, meaning Rabbi Abahu just simply disagrees with the premise that there necessarily are 24 birds. Tanya Yisi ben Yehuda Amr Mea Ofos Tameim Yesh B'Mizrach. 100 species of birds that are non-kosher birds that are in the east. V'kulan min ayahein. They're all subspecies of the ayah. Tini avimi b'rei de Rabbi Abahu zamios mine dagim hein. There are 700 types of fish. V'ches meos mine chagavim. 800 types of grasshoppers. Ula ofos amis par. And as far as birds are concerned, there's no number. Now, ofos chavdalahav. What do you mean there's no number? There is a number. We have a mesora. It's been a big part of today's daf that there are 24 species of birds that are not kosher. So elo la ofos tahorim ein mispar. The way the brisa punctuates is that when we're talking about kosher birds, that's innumerable. Tanya Rabbi Omer Galuv Yadulf Nemisha Amar Vahaya Olam Shebehema Tameya Maruba Mina Taharos. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that in terms of the animal kingdom, remember in my introduction, animals are broken down to four categories. So in terms of Behema Vahaya, so of that population, many more of them are not kosher than kosher. Therefore, that's why the Torah goes out of its way to tell us which ones are the kosher ones that we can eat. That's a smaller number. Also, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that there are more kosher birds than non-kosher birds. And that's why the Torah goes and identifies which birds are not kosher. My kamash malanked Rav Huna Amrav Amri La Amr Rav Huna Amrav Mishum Rabbi Meir Lo Olam Mishana Adam Latamido Derech Ketzara. And this goes back to a point that we saw back in the beginning of Pesachim, and we're saying it now in the third parak of Chulin, and that is that when you teach, you should do so as succinctly as possible, and be conservative in the words that you use in terms of explaining a particular idea. And so the Torah is always going to give us the smallest number. By animals, since the smallest number is kosher, that's the list the Torah is going to give. By birds, since the smallest number is non-kosher, that's the list that the Torah is going to give. Amar Rav Yitzchak, let's pause over here. Let's spell the Mesora and who you turn to for a Mesora and birds. So we'll stop over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up over there. Today, a really technical daf, admittedly, regarding the identity of many of the birds in Bavel circa 3rd, 4th century that are kosher versus that are not kosher, a darshaning of the psukim in the Torah regarding numerous birds that are mentioned in the Torah and the meaning behind the names of those birds, and then a good part of today's daf is a mesorah that we have 24 types of birds that are not kosher. The problem, of course, is that there are only 20 mentioned in Vayikra, the 21 mentioned in Devarim, and the Amoraim give various approaches in terms of how to get from the list in the Torah to the number 24, or maybe according to some Amoraim, the number 24 in of itself is not necessarily a number that we have to hold by.